Dan Moldea, the American best-selling author and investigative journalist, is with us, and much is going on in Washington, D.C., and we'll get his take on the Mueller probe and Saudi Arabia and everything else. But before we get there, we haven't talked with Dan since the midterm elections, and as noted, Democrats have regained control of the U.S. House and have a deficit in the Senate of 53-47. Republicans gained two seats, but two-thirds of the seats that were on the ballot in November, as in November 6th, were Democrats defending their territory, and so Republicans actually hoped to gain more than two, but it's a net gain of two. And when the new Congress convenes in a few weeks, 90% of the Republicans will be white males and 33% of the Democrats will be white males. Dan Moldea, what does this say about the division in America and the division in the two major parties?
Number one, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. But thank you for pointing that out, that the Democrats had to defend 10 Senate seats in red states where the Republicans only had to defend one. And they were looking for the red wave in the Senate, which they did not get. They picked up two of those Senate seats. That was it. But with the Democrats winning the House, I sort of sense that there is a tremendous pressure that has been relieved from the pressure cooker as a result, because the Democrats now finally, after being completely X'd out in 2016, have some standing and have a say. They have some checks and balances now on what is happening here in Washington, and whereas, you know, both houses of Congress were controlled. I mean, I am a centrist, and I believe that you run from the center and you govern from the center because it's inclusive. I can't stand the extremes, whether it's the extreme right or the extreme left, because they try to X each other out. And so my point is that I'm very relieved that the Democrats won the House back, because they now have standing. There are now checks. And I feel that this is a good thing for America that this is now happening. Now, what's happening today is with Michael Cohen pleading guilty to this one count of lying to Congress. This is really kind of mind-blowing, and this is setting up what I've been telling you for a long time, and that is that this Mueller investigations is a mob thing, because what Cohen has pleaded guilty to is lying to the Senate, specifically about the attempt to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. I think it was in about 2013, and the guy they were working with was a guy named Felix Sater, who was a Russian mob guy. And I believe that with the team that Mueller has assembled, these hard-ass prosecutors, these RICO-trained, cudgel-grabby guys who are very smart, very talented, and very equipped to use the principal tool against organized crime, and that is RICO, the Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organizations Act. And I believe that that is the tool they will be principally using in the upcoming indictments that you're going to be seeing. And I believe that Mueller is going to turn everybody, this entire country, everybody into jelly on this thing. When we start to discover what Mueller has come up with, I think it's going to be so stunning that it's going to be, in the end, my prediction is that this is going to be the granddaddy of all comeuppances for Donald Trump. Unfortunately, because of Trump's refusal to tell the truth about anything and to resist any charges against him, it's going to be the motherlode of all consequences for everybody else in this country, because this is going to create a constitutional crisis that everybody can see in the horizon. It's coming. It's coming hard. It's coming fast. And it's going to be very dangerous for everybody.
877-217-5757 is your number, and we do want to thank Sherry McConnell, longtime public official in Louisiana, for contributing to WRKF. And again, if you're inclined to support, which we hope you are, 855-893-9753, and please try to get in before 10 o'clock. Dan Moldea is with us, the celebrated investigative reporter, and the story that today, Michael Cohen issuing a guilty plea, the president's lawyer, former lawyer now, but he was his lawyer for many, many years, and he's the one who orchestrated that $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels, the pride of Baton Rouge, for an affair that President Trump says never took place. Dan Moldea, there's an example. Why would a man who's the author of The Art of a Deal, The Art of the Deal, pay $130,000 to somebody who just makes an allegation? That doesn't sound like a wise business choice, does it?
You know, I think I talked to her back in 2010. I think she called me. And Stormy Daniels, I think, called me in about 2010 because she was thinking about running for the Senate as a Republican against David Vitter. And, of course, I was the one who got David Vitter in 2007 with regard to his connection to the D.C. Madam. But, you know, Vitter survived all of that. Stormy Daniels was thinking seriously about running for taking the Republican nomination. As I recall, she was running for the Republican. She was thinking about running for the
Republican
nomination.
She never got in the race, though. But
so she was. She was. Did she never got in the race.
But she was having press conferences and flirting with the idea. And little did we know that already by then that she and the current president of the United States had been lovers. And they met at the Beverly Hills Hotel in beautiful Los Angeles, California, right on Sunset Boulevard. Place where Warren Beatty hangs out at the Polo Lounge, and there Stormy and the president were having a liaison. Escalating his attacks on the special counsel investigation, President Trump said yesterday that a presidential pardon for his former campaign chairman Paul Manafort is not off the table. What does this mean, if anything?
Gee, it sounds like he's dangling a pardon, saying, hang in there, big guy. If you don't talk, I can pardon you. That's what it sounds like. And if that's true, then I would assume that Mueller's going to try to make some case for obstruction. My belief in Mueller is so firm and so solid and so complete that I believe that Mueller has a contingency plan for anything and everything that these guys are cooking up right now. And their desperate attempt to avoid accountability for what's been going on for all these years. And I think that, I think that Mueller's report, the information, the indictments that he's going to be coming out with are just going to be absolutely stunning. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of a factor this acting attorney general is going to have, since supposedly he is now overseeing the Mueller investigation. I mean, obviously all of us are concerned about a Trump stooge and his attorney general right now, acting or otherwise, who's not recusing himself despite his obvious and his on-the-record complaints and criticisms of the Mueller prosecutorial team. And so, you know, I mean, the writing's on the wall on this thing. And again, I think the president's forces are getting desperate, and, you know, desperate actions call for desperate times call for desperate actions, and so I believe that we're going to see some real manifestations of some real desperation here from the White House. And again, we're going to get the consequences of this, because this is going to be very, very bad for all of us.
Well, the president, Dan Moldea, has at his option the prospect of pardoning a lot of people. He can pardon himself, he says. He could pardon anybody else. He could fire Mueller. And he has not done any of this to his credit, but is there still the prospect that he will?
The question is how much it, even if he were to issue pardons to those he issues pardons, those pardons will not be recognized by state prosecutorial efforts, whether it's the Attorney General's office in New York State or whether it is these other attorney generals in other states which are looking into corruption by these people who are associated with the Trump campaign and with the Trump administration, with Trump himself. And, man, when you have the president's attorney flipping on him, as Michael Cohen has done, or you have that other attorney, I forget that gentleman's name, a very respected guy, respected attorney up in New York who has been cooperating with Mueller's team, you know, you're finding yourself in a very funny situation when you got your own attorney cooperating. I mean, the attorneys obviously know everything.
877-217-5757. We will go to the phone lines after a brief pause, and we'll start with Patrick and Inniswald, and we've got Skipper and Gonzalez and a few others waiting in the wings, and there is a line open at 877-217-5757 for Dan Moldea. And a reminder that this is the year-end closeout, and we're a few dollars short of our goal for 2018 at WRKF, and we'd like to hear from you this hour, 855-893-9753. Back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757 for Dan Moldea, the celebrated investigative reporter, Patrick in Inniswald Estates. You're on with Dan Moldea. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, two things. First off, the Mueller investigation has nothing. All they got are these Podesta emails that were hacked by some Russian hackers. It wasn't the Russian government. Assange said that. So it was some Russian hackers. And WikiLeaks did nothing illegal by publishing them or giving that information away. It's no different than what happened to the Pentagon Papers when Daniel Ellsberg stole them from the Pentagon. Daniel Ellsberg committed the crime, not the Washington Post or the New York Times by publishing it. It's no different here with WikiLeaks. And as far as Stormy Daniels, you know, that's a civil matter, okay? She made an agreement. Non-disclosure agreements are made all the time. She broke the agreement. I don't see that anything criminally illegal has been made by Donald Trump making a civil agreement with a woman to keep her mouth shut about his sex life. If anything, he needs to sue her in court and get his money back.
Well, he's not doing that. He's calling her horse face instead.
Well, look at the insult she's given him. I mean, it's
well, she
the problem.
Retaliated. There's no doubt. You're right about that. Thank you, Patrick. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Dan, what are your thoughts about
Well, Patrick obviously watched Hannity last night because that was the basic theme of what he was saying. And, you know, what can you say? You know, I'm not one of these people who claims to own absolute truth. Patrick clearly believes that he owns absolute truth. Hannity believes he owns absolute truth. The whole Fox News herd of sheep who agree with this nonsense with Trump television, Trump state television, a.k.a. Fox News, the whorehouse of American journalism, you know, they are going to delude themselves into believing that Mueller has absolutely nothing. So let time tell. Let Mueller's report come out, and we'll see what's happening. I would put my money down that Mueller has the goods, and the goods are coming and coming soon.
The attacks on Mueller have been rather personal at times, and he is, after all, a decorated war hero, and he is a Republican. Yeah. He would seem to be an unlikely target.
As was Comey, as was many of the people who Trump is attacking right now. Trump is it's clear here, and the sheep in his flock, it doesn't matter if a person is a Republican. And if you're anti-Trump, you're anti-American, period, and they're against you. And that's what's going to be difficult about this. You're going to have some very respected, very honorable people, Republicans, who are going to be coming out after Mueller's report comes out, and they're going to be taking strong stance against Trump, and then Trump will start to demonize them as well. That's why I say this is going to be very bad for everybody.
Skipper in Gonzalez. Skipper, you're on Talk Louisiana with Dan Moldea. I think Matt's going to pull Skipper up in Studio B, and there is Skipper. Hi, Skipper.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Normally in politics, I try to look for the most common answer, the most simple answer. It's normally money. The deal that Mueller is saying that he continued in Moscow looks to me like a hotel deal was made. The president ran, Trump ran for president, told him to put it on the back burner. Mueller decided that, you know, he's not going to let a billion-dollar deal go, so he kept a few back doors open in case what everybody thought when the president lost, he could continue with the hotel deal. I don't see where this is a crisis in American politics.
All right. Your thoughts about Skipper saying that this is
overplayed,
whatever is there.
Well, you know, Ken Starr started an investigation of Whitewater, and that went on for what?
7 years.
Seven years. Spent 80-some million dollars.
78 FBI agents.
78 FBI agents, and they wound up getting Clinton on what? A consensual affair with a young woman. You know, if you think that this relationship between Putin, Vladimir Putin, and Donald Trump is a healthy relationship for America, after the president's disgraceful performance into Helsinki with Putin, And if you don't think that this is a legitimate investigation to find out whether the President of the United States is a stooge for the Russian President Vladimir Putin, then, you know, I don't know what your idea of good government is. Good government is finding out what is happening behind the scenes, and we have yet to see a meeting between Putin and Trump, which has been in broad daylight. These guys meet privately, and they are in situations where they appear to be in collusion with each other.
Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. You're on the air with Dan Moldea. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking a call. Just one quick question from Mr. Moldea. We don't seem to get enough information about the refugees from Honduras and Central America. Why they're up here, is it gang-related, is it a lack of opportunity? But there's got to be some pretty good reasons that people will walk or hitchhike 2,300 miles to try to get into the United States.
Good point.
I think if somebody could be in there interviewing a bunch of these people and finding out and then telling the American public. I'll take my answer on the air, Jim. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Or thank you, Ray. Dan?
I think Ray makes a great point. I don't know of any responsible person that just says open the borders up and let everybody come in. I mean, if there's people with criminal backgrounds who want to get into the country, we think you can't get in. You're not allowed to get in. And I think that a lot of research needs to be done into what is really happening down there and the nature of these people. And the gentleman is correct when he said that these people are fleeing situations where in Honduras and El Salvador, where gang violence is killing families, dividing families, taking over families, grabbing their children and turning them into gang members. You know, they're fleeing from deadly situations. And these aren't economic. A lot of these people aren't economic refugees. They are people who are fleeing horrible situations.
Well, furious over being denied a CIA briefing on the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi, senators from both parties are spurning the Trump administration with a stinging vote to consider ending American military support for the Saudi-backed war in Yemen. It was a 63-37 vote yesterday in the Senate. What do you think of that? That would seem there's
a
bipartisan.
With Khashoggi going into the Saudi embassy in Istanbul to get a marriage license and then winding up getting ambushed,
dismembered,
beaten up, tortured, and murdered and dismembered, and for the President of the United States, who had been doing business with the Saudis for years, and has been stooging it up with the Saudis since he came into office. I think it's important that we find out, with Trump deciding that rejecting the CIA consideration that the crown prince was involved in this thing, directly involved in this thing. I think it's important, and I think it's legitimate, with all due respect to Patrick, who seems to want to give Trump a pass to everything. I think it's important that we find out what the relationship between the Saudis and President Trump and his business relationship with the Saudis has been.
The National Security Advisor, John Bolton, says he didn't listen to the tape that he had an opportunity to listen to that is an audio version that happened, a real version of the killing of Khashoggi. Now, wouldn't this be incumbent for him to listen to as a National Security Advisor?
Well, I think the importance of it is that, from what I understand, certainly I haven't heard the tape, but I haven't even seen a transcript of it, but what I understand is, in the midst of the either the murder of or the dismemberment of Khashoggi, that one of the Crown Prince's top guys who was there and was part of the conspiracy against Khashoggi specifically made reference to the Crown Prince's knowledge of and approval of what they were in the midst of doing. So if they were to listen to that tape, they would be listening to clear evidence of the Crown Prince's participation in this murder. Now, with them refusing to listen to the tape, they can now say that they've never heard of any evidence where the Crown Prince was directly involved.
Dan
That's
downtown.
The way I look at it.
Dan downtown. You're on with Dan Moldea.
Yes. Do you think that Chief Justice Roberts cares enough about the reputation of the federal judiciary that he won't go along with the four other right wingers in sheltering Trump and his tax returns from subpoena exposure?
Great question. Wow, that's a great question. I mean, that's bottom line is the constitutional crisis rises on the horizon here. That's what obviously it's going to come down to is a clear. It seems to be that John Roberts is now the swing vote on the Supreme Court. And these 5-4 decisions are going to be decided by the Chief Justice, John Roberts. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. I wasn't a big fan of John Roberts when he was nominated, of course. But, he did make a wise decision on Obamacare. And I think that which made him a target for the right. Because you're either all in or they're against you, and he had shown some independence on that. And so it's going to be interesting to see where John Roberts plays his hand on this upcoming constitutional crisis, and it is coming.
Thank you, Dan Moldea. Always good to talk with you.
Jim, always a pleasure talking to you, sir. Have a good holiday.
See you soon.